bless whoever's coming up to speak, either Chris or Stephen, I don't know, but bless whatever they have to say, and bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Everyone. Yes, welcome. Happy New Year. Our first service of the new year. For those who don't know me, actually, let me ask first time. Is there anybody new here for the first time today? Any new guests? We just want to welcome you and greet you. Are you here for the first time? It's second time's okay, too, or many times. Never. What's your name? Shaylin, nice to meet you, Shaylin. I'm Chris. Welcome. That was adorable. So if you don't know me, my name's Chris. I'm one of the deacons here in the church. We've got a few people out this morning. Pastor Bailey's feeling a little under the weather, as well as a few others. Obviously, we know there's a lot of this COVID outbreak going on and things like this, so we need to be safe as possible. But it's great to see everybody's faces here this morning, excited. There will be no, just quick announcements, there will be no service tonight and no teen group tonight. So just this morning service. And I know many people are watching from home, including Pastor Bailey. So he just texted me. He's watching on YouTube right now. So hi, Pastor Bailey and the rest of us. But to start today, I did want to mention a couple of things. It is a Happy New Year. I was excited. Yesterday, I kind of got up, though, and you know, it was a lazy morning, and which is always good on New Year's. And then, you know, I wake up, and I have a couple of people that are sick. A few people have COVID that I hear. I get phone calls, and a friend passes away. And then my sister-in-law, I think she may have broke her tailbone. So I said to Cindy, I said, I don't think I want to leave the house today. 2022 is not starting good for everybody else. But, you know, we're thankful for that. But, regardless of that, we have a couple of Bible college students here this morning. We always like to have them. You know, they were young people here in our church. They grew up here in our church, in our teen group. We always like to have them give a few testimonies when they come back. We have one up. We have Stephen Zeffirino, who's going to speak today. He's going to speak an introduction for us today. We're excited to hear that. Bible college student and longtime young man of the youth group here. Before I call him up, I will say that I wanted to just give a little honor to his grandmother. His grandmother and Sal Salas, Carla Zeffirino, their mom passed away. They got the news early yesterday morning that she passed away down in Brazil. You know, really praying for them. I know not only just the mother of Sal and Carla, but like 37 brothers and sisters or something, right? How many brothers and sisters does your mom have? Seven. Okay, so a little. And Armando's got you beat. Got her beat. But and how many grandkids? You can't even count, right? You can't even count. Can't even count. You know, so there's a woman there who's an amazing woman, and she's been an amazing mother and matriarch, and you know, faithful to the call of God, and has basically been, God's used her to create a fleet of believers underneath of all her children and grandchildren. I mean, what a great family they are, and love God, and she'll be missed. And I know Carla was preparing on Wednesday to go see her in Brazil. It didn't obviously make it in time. So pray for Carla. I know that was really hard on her, and I'm sure Sal and the rest of the family as well that weren't able to be there. So, just want to honor her and love her. What a great woman and that family. And to do that, what better way to do than have her grandson come up and speak now? Stephen, you come up. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. It's really sweet, yeah. But God is good. I keep saying, we're going to see her soon. My brother hates it, so I'm going to stop saying that. But the truth is, life is so quick, but God is good. She lived a great life, and yeah. But yeah, let's pray for the message. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you for us being here, Lord. Thank you for our ability to be healthy, Lord. And for those who aren't healthy right now, God, I ask that you can be with them, Lord, and heal them, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 12. We're going to be speaking about basically, what do I boast in, or what am I proud of? Like, what do we bring up to this guy and say, like, hey, I have this thing here. You know what I mean? Like, for example, I'm in trade school right now. I want to be an electrician, so I tell everyone, my big brother is a lineman. And that's what I boast of it there at trade school, because they say, like, oh, the lineman's the big boy electrician is what they say. They're like, oh, he's a scary one. So I boast about my brother there. So, yeah, that's my boast. So what is it in your life that you boast, what you put up? And 2 Corinthians 12, it's a very famous passage. We're going to be kind of doing it verse by verse. I just kind of want to give us the context before we start, so we can kind of understand the passage. So 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, Paul is exhorting the Corinthian church because they're being led astray by some false teachers who have come to the Corinthians, and they boast in themselves. They say, like, I have gotten great visions from God. I'm more of an apostle than Paul because I have all these things, like these visions. I am a Jew, and they say all these things that try to put themselves higher than Paul. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, he talks about how he came to the Corinthians humbly, only preaching the gospel. And because of that, the Corinthians kind of saw him as lowly and kind of rejected him. In that sense, he started to lead astray to people who were putting themselves up, is the idea. So in 2 Corinthians 12, he starts off he says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And the idea was that he says, I shouldn't have to boast to you, but I will say one little thing, I guess. And he goes on to talk about a vision that he had 14 years earlier. And he says in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. He's kind of saying, like, I knew a man, not myself, to try not to boast totally. And then, the interesting thing is 14 years ago, Paul was actually stoned, and everyone thought that he was dead. So this is possibly where this happened. Everyone thought he was dead. He even doesn't know if he was dead or alive. So here he says then, whether in the body or not, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. So he's talking about how he went to the third heaven. In the Bible, the context of the third heaven, there's a first, second, and third heaven. First heaven is the sky we see right here. Second heaven is the galaxies. Third heaven is the presence of God. So this is something huge, something to boast about. It would be for a lot of the people, because even the people who, the false teachers, they wouldn't say, I saw God. I went to the third heaven. So this is a great boast that he never told anyone about. So he's talking about it here. And then, yeah, so let's just skip to verse 5. He says, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. So he decides not to boast about that, but instead of his infirmities. And now we're getting to the actual message, now that we got the context. We're going to go through verses 6, 7, and 6 through 11. So let's read it, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, so verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should exalt above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So there's a lot there, right? He says that he would in his flesh desire to boast about this. Imagine you get a great revelation from God where you see God face to face in heaven. What would you want to do? What I would do immediately after is go to my wife and say, hey, I just saw something crazy. Then I'd go to the church and say, hey guys, I just saw something crazy. I just saw God. I went up to the third heaven. But Paul says he decides not to boast in that. Instead, he boasts in his weakness. Which is kind of crazy, right? If you think about it. We boast in the things that make us less as Christians. And this is because he understands grace. Because God's answer to him was when he got the thorn in the flesh, which the only things we know about the thorn in the flesh truly are that it's a messenger of Satan. We don't know much about it. It could be physical, it could be mental, or it could be spiritual. He doesn't go into deep context of what it is. But it's a messenger of Satan, something demonic, and he prays to God that he could relieve him from it, and God doesn't answer. Paul, a man so close to God, we think of him as so so high, the apostle, and that he would come to God. He healed so many people. He came to God and asked for himself to be healed of something, and God said no. And the reason was so that he would be humbled. And I find that so interesting, right? Like sometimes we come to God with a prayer, with a thorn that could be in our flesh, something that's been bothering us, and we come to God and we ask for relief and he says no, or he just doesn't answer, or maybe it's not the time now, but relief will come. And the idea is that God's grace is sufficient. That's what God's answer is. Like, you don't need this to be healed because I'm sufficient for you. And the idea is when you understand grace, when you understand what grace means, that we are forgiven, that we have so much more than we deserve, that everything in our life is a grace to us. Everything in our life, we don't deserve it because of our sin. We understand that even the thorn in our flesh, our infirmities, our weaknesses, will glory God, will glorify God. So the idea is that when we are weak, he is strong. It says in verse 10, Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Yeah, that's amazing, right? Because when we're weak and people see us going through trials, what a lot of people want to see, what a lot of people expect to see as well, is us to be falling down, face on the ground, not knowing what to do. But we turn to God because his grace is sufficient. And when we turn to God, we glorify him through that, because then others can see our testimony. And yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And so if we turn to 1 Peter 4:13, relates to that, about suffering. First Peter 4:13 says, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." So when we suffer in earth, we're partaking of the suffering of Christ, because he came here and he was lowly and he was meek and he suffered for us. So when we're going through trials, we are partaking in the sufferings that Christ did. So we're in him in that. So it's actually a glory to us and to him when we suffer. And that's why in Acts 5, I think it was 40, 540, I have it here. Acts 5:40, after the apostles were whipped and beaten and persecuted, they came out glorifying God. Here, let's turn there. Acts 5:40. Did everyone find it? I'm slow. Acts 5:40. So here we are. Acts 5:40 through. So he says, and to him they agreed, when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name. Isn't that amazing? Imagine that. You're getting whipped, you're getting persecuted, and your response is you glory in it. And that's because they understand grace. They understand what Christ went through. And when you understand what Christ went through for us, we understand that the least we could do is go through at least a little bit for him. And what do we live through right now? I mean, there's a lot of Christians who are persecuted, and a lot of Christians who are going through terrible hardships, and they're rejoicing in it. And that's such an amazing testimony. But we go through our day-to-day lives, and we also have a thorn in the flesh. Everyone has something that is bothering them. It could be spiritual, mental, physical. But in that thorn in the flesh, even though we pray that it goes away, if God does not relieve us from it, we should know that his grace is sufficient for us, and that his power is made perfect in us when we are weak, that his power is made full when we are weak, that we can glorify him through it. And just the last scripture here that I want to go to is Psalm 13. It's a classic psalm. And I love it because it shows what it's like to glorify in your weakness. Psalms 13. Did everyone find it again? Yeah? Okay. All right. 6 verses, we'll read all of it already. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am removed, when I am moved. So this is depressing, right? Yeah, that you read that and that's terrible sorrow. You could say that's a thorn in his flesh. But then in the next verse, this is where he turns. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He hath dealt bountifully with me. That you can look at, you can see blessings through the storm. You can see blessings through the trials and through the thorn in your flesh. Because, I mean, the truth is we don't deserve anything we had, like I said, and that his grace is sufficient. And it says that we would rejoice in his salvation. So what I like doing when I feel like I'm going through something or feel like there's a thorn in my flesh, I just look at the salvation that Christ gave me. Cause it's so beyond whatever we're going through. It's so, so much greater. That's why he said his power is made perfect. His power is made full when we are weak. And it's an interesting thing about grace. Like, Ioana told me in a class in Bible college that grace always keeps you in the middle ground. That when you're high, when you're feeling proud, grace brings you down because you realize you don't deserve anything you have and God gave you everything. Then when you're low and you're feeling like all your sins are heavy on you, grace relieves you from that and brings you back to where you should be, which is in God's presence. So that's how grace is sufficient. Grace is the exact thing that we need in these moments in our trials, in the moments of greatness, when we have the thorn in our flesh constantly going after us. That's something from Satan, could be, or it could be physical. So yeah. So everyone that has COVID at home, glorify in it. Just kidding, we pray for you. Yeah. So that's it. Amen.
Great job, Stephen. That was awesome. Before we get started, I wanted to ask just any of the Bible college students, how many do we have back here from Bible college? We have two here, three here, I know. Any other ones? If we've got any testimonies that we'd like to share. I know Victoria said she'd share one. Victoria, if you'd like to come up, just take a couple minutes and just share what's going on down in Baltimore. We'd love to hear a testimony from you.
Minutes. It's been amazing in Bible college being able to hear the wisdom from all these pastors, and you can truly see, like, they really know the Word of God. Like, they've studied their whole lives or most of their lives and really know the Bible. They know the Bible so well. And so I can't wait to be like them and to really just know everything about it and be able to answer so many questions like they can. but something that Pastor Schaller recently said that has stuck with me for a while now, it's in Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. It's just so amazing. Like, I just sit here and, like, when I pray and you ask and, you know, you have your meditation and time with God, it's not just all about what you have to say to God all the time. Like, I can talk forever to God, right? All about my problems, all about what I want. You know, you can praise him, but then I realize that there's a time that I have to sit there and just in silence and waiting on him and hearing what he has to say. And sometimes it's not just reading, but just sitting there in meditation. And it's something that I never really, like, have done before, and I never really realized. But I've been realizing, like, the importance of it. And just to listen. But yeah, that's all I have to say. I mean, Bible college has been great. I encourage anybody, any of the young people who are going to graduate soon, to consider it, because, I mean, don't wait. Don't miss the opportunity. That's it.
Okay. All right. Let's get into the Word. All right. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for those that are here. We thank you for those that are not here. We pray for this message, Lord. We pray for your Word to touch us. We pray for all those that are here, protection on them, Lord, and with everything going on in the world today with the COVID and everything, Lord, we just pray, have your hand on it, settle our hearts, and let us make good decisions in all these things, and bless this Word now in Jesus' name, amen. So, as I got the phone call yesterday, asking if I would do the message this morning, you know, I said absolutely. And so many years ago, I'm not a preacher by any means. I've spoken a few messages. I said to Pastor Billy, I said, I think I've spoken a total of about 15 minutes, you know, in one run. So I said, I'll do the best I can. Pastor Morrison had always told me, you know, in the years past when I was spending him, when you're preparing to do a message, prepare from everything that you've been studying so far this week, and prepare many things. And then you may only use a fraction of it, but that's okay. That was part of God bringing you to that message. I also really like to go to a lot of Pastor Carl Stevens, the videos, and he was the founder of Greater Grace Ministries, and I love doing them. So I'm going to share a little bit about that today, and the thought today is out of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And I'll begin there. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then in 2 Timothy 1, starting at verse 8 and going through 10, writes, Paul, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So verse 9 again, just focusing on that last part of it, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And go back to verse 10 of Ephesians 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Sometimes you ever ask your question, and I came across this a couple of times, and it's going to happen at times. And if you don't, well, you're much stronger than I am. But occasionally you have these thoughts like, why am I believing this today? So much is coming against me. Is it? You ever just in your mind, you have that little thought, and you go, where does my faith come from? Like, where does this come from? And then God reminded me of something. Your faith was given to you as a gift. Now this, as a gift. That's right. And this is something that it not only is good for me, but it helps me remember when I'm sharing the gospel. I share the gospel, or I want someone to be saved. How often I have now changed this week and said, God, I pray that you give him that gift. You know, Grandma Salas, she was available. And she prayed for her children and her grandchildren. And how many of them that I have met now that love God? Because she prayed that they would receive that gift.
how many times that my wife and I have prayed about for our children to receive that gift, and then we've seen it. You know, sometimes we don't. It is a gift given to me. It was said this way. I like the way this was said in about that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You have been saved by grace. The grace of God is the source of our salvation. Faith is the channel, not the cause. Salvation never originates in the efforts of people. It always arises out of the loving kindness of God. We're talking about grace this morning and how it can bring you up when you're down, and it can bring you, humble you. And I love that. I love that I can see that I need mercy. If you can't see that you need mercy and that you need grace, you will not be saved and you are not saved. Because there's no need for Christ to have died for you. There's no need for that salvation. So if I look and I look at myself and I say, wow, I deserve so much more. The Ten Commandments are that great benchmark, right? That's the moral law. It shows me where I fall. It continues to show me. If I continue to look at the Word of God, that's the power that's in the Word of God, that it can show me where I fall. But the grace of God, these verses here, make me understand that despite me, and despite me today, the thorn in the flesh, you know, I remember a message years ago about that. We don't really know what that thorn in the flesh was. Some think it was a physical ailment, something. Maybe it was spiritual. Maybe it was a constant press into a weakness he had. A personal sin that kept fighting him. Or a personal temptation against a sin that was a weakness in his life. Does anybody have any weaknesses or propensities towards certain sins? We all do. Some the same, some different. Right? So maybe that was that. And that kept him humble, because that keeps me humble. How often do we get puffed up at how good we're doing? Right? At how well we've been doing this week or this month, or how much we've been serving, and how much we didn't go back to this over here. Well, we did it to honor God, and that's great, and that's true, and that's honorable. However, that's not what we stand on. That's not what we stand on. So mercy, I deserve that, but I didn't get it. And the grace. I think of walking into a courtroom, guilty of a crime, and walking out with a blessing. And wait, I just walked in here and I just walked out with all this? Wait, I was supposed to go to jail. I didn't get that. That's the grace. How does that, and how does that work? You know? How amazing. But then again, go back to that, the faith. Where does it come from? It is purely a gift. We have to exercise it. We have to take the steps, because it's just a belief. So, for God so loved the world, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Probably the most famous Bible verse in the Bible. Right? You can believe. You can be saved. But what made Abraham righteous? He began to take the steps of faith. If I believe that piece of floor is going to hold me, I have faith in it, I'm going to take that step. But what would cause me to look at that and say, that doesn't look like it's going to hold me, God? How many times have you been in situations where you go, that doesn't look like it's going to hold me, God? That's not going to hold me and my whole family. I got to trust you. And those are the hardest ones. And as we exercise those, we can do it again. And we have faith that we can do it again. And here's what I would say about a lot of that and about a lot of this. We talk about a lot of the suffering that maybe Paul had, or maybe that others had, and they take joy in it. I have a hard time comprehending that. But lately, God uses whatever you're involved in oftentimes to teach you some lessons. So you think about that, and these believers had a long-term view of what was going on short-term in the world. So, they may have been sick, they may have been afflicted, they may have been physically beaten, maybe we are today. But do we look at things from our own perspective and from our experience? Or do we look at that and we see our experience and then we look and say, we know the God has the long-term plan. And here's how God relates that to me. So lately, you know, you've been getting into getting in shape and getting fitness and things, and I go in there, I go, why do I have to go in and do this workout today? It is killing me. This is painful. Tomorrow it's going to be painful for the next 2 days too, because I'm going to be sore from it. Why would you? I went in the other day and they wanted the exercise. So we have this plan we have to do, and the exercise the coach gave us today was we have to do dips in rings. And I don't even know if I can do dips in rings with my own body, but they want you to put a belt on and carry weight on it. And I said, why would you do that to yourself? That's so painful. It's so much. But if you continue to do that today, and you do it again next week, and you do it again tomorrow, you have faith, because you go and you look in the mirror, and you don't see any difference after I did that workout. Right? All I know is I can't stand up straight, or I can't move my arms very well anymore for a couple of days. Right? But if I believe, and I have faith, that that is the correct plan of action, and that the end result will be, then a year down the road, I'll start to see the difference. 6 months down the road, I'll start to see the difference. Well, God knows the down the road. And if I go through this and I believe, why am I having to go through this pain? Why is he not healing me? Why is he sending me through this? I have to remember that this life is just a sliver of eternity. And this could benefit me for eternity. It's the only thing I can think of many times to think about this. Like, how? How do I keep that faith? God says that the faith is the gift. All you have to do is keep taking a step. Keep taking a step. And as I prepare to just share this little thought with you this morning, like I said, one of the things I do is I take some of those Pastor Stephen's messages from time to time, and I bring them out, and I go over them, I keep going over them, and listening to them. I wanted to just share. I wasn't going to speak very long this morning. I wanted to share this quick thought. I wanted to share just a couple of quick videos, Pastor Stephen's. We're going to put them up today to close the service, and he says things much more eloquently, much better than I can. But he also begins, if you really understand what he has to say, it will really blow your mind. He's an amazing speaker, an amazing man. So, Father, please bless these words now and this video now. In Jesus' name, amen.
If I'm being, I want you to see tonight in Joshua 14:11. I am the same today at 80 years of age. He said, I was 40 years of age when Moses sent us out. And 40 years later, I'm just the same as I was when Moses sent us out. And that's a wonderful testimony. He didn't quit. You couldn't get Caleb. I'm talking about Caleb, not Joshua, but they're both the same in principle. You couldn't get Caleb to quit. Caleb didn't know the word quit. He didn't know the word negative attitude. He didn't know the word what it means to quit in a college semester. He didn't know what it meant to quit when things are going difficult in your business or job. He didn't know what it meant to quit in a marriage. He didn't know the word quit in his attitude. Caleb had a wonderful attitude. And he said, the same strength that I had 40 years ago, I have the same strength today. Then he said something else. Now that I'm in the business of saying this, God, give me this mountain. He said, because you, if you are with us, and you are, it'll be as you have said. And oh, tonight, not one of God's promises have ever fallen to the ground. In 1 Kings 8:56, all that God says shall come to pass in Ezekiel 12:25. Friends, it'll be as God has said. Joshua was a slave in Egypt. And he came out of Egypt as a slave to the Egyptians. But oh, how he served Moses. And because he served Moses, he was promoted. And oh, when he said, upon your word I'll meditate day and night. And God says, if you meditate and do what the word says, you prosper in whatever whatever you do and wherever you go. He said, if you meditate on the word of God, every place the sole of your foot shall touch, Joshua, will be yours and will be the nations. And Joshua said to Caleb, you want Hebron? Go after it. And Caleb, at 80 years of age, defeated the three sons of Anakim, which meant three very negative things. Disobedience, rebellion, and fear, with negative attitudes. Negative attitudes have caused more problems in the emotions, more problem in the central nervous system, more problem with physical illness. Negative attitudes have caused more problems in human relationships and more problems to make marriages incompatible, more problems to break up friendships that were supposed to be solid. Negative attitudes, getting up nasty and dirty and saying a remark and somebody hears it. A negative attitude breeds evil reports and breeds contempt, and it always infects people. Their report infected an entire nation. But an altar, Joshua's credit. The word of God says in Joshua 14:15, the land rested. Joshua said in 24:15, as for me and my house, I'm making the decision how to bring up my family. We will serve the Lord. He made a godly decision. And the Bible says, and I repeat, for 40 years after he died, they were victorious the way they live, because they had a Joshua. And do you know his name was changed by Moses from Hoshea, which meant questionable, to Joshua, which meant deliverance from God now. Caleb meant boldness, character, and courageous spirit. God said, I'm going to call you courageous. Be of good courage, and you are. I'm going to call you Mr. Boldness. I'm going to call you Joshua, somebody that'll be delivered by God now instead of your old name, which meant questionable in your decisions. Would you bow your heads? God will test your heart and your reins. We teach our people that reins and bowels and kidneys are a metonym because emotions were not in the original Greek. So it's a word for emotions. You receive and your kidneys give out. You receive and your bowels give out. So they chose something that you receive and your body gives it out only what it receives. So that's your emotions. They cannot love. They cannot think. They cannot reason, and they cannot have authority. So what has Satan done? We have the feminine plural of the word kiljah, K-I-L-J-A-H, kiljah. Now, your left emotion gives you an eternal value system capacity for God and His righteousness to give us capacity for life. Our right emotion only gives us a capacity for the world system and for self-absorption and self-deception and self-centeredness. That's your right emotion. So what does the devil do? Go to work on a woman with the right emotion and disturb the marriage. Then go to work on men with the right emotion. Now, the emotions are the basis for thymopathic behavior. And that simply means the disturbance of effects. The disturbance of effects. It means this. Bringing human energy apart from divine provision into your marriage. Bringing human energy apart from the living faith of God into your business. Bringing human energy apart from God's grace into your family. bringing human energy back into a problem that's going on in trials. It's entering into the plan of God with human energy minus God's power. And it's called thymopathic behavior. And it's oh, I can't handle this. And you go on and on. And you see me. You just get right on Monday and Tuesday, you're crying in the hallway. You just get right Thursday and you've changed again Friday. You just get right for a whole week. You go and you come back the following Monday. I have a question. Thymopathic behavior. Baby, human energy, mood swings. You're going to settle it. You've got all the answers. That is not of God. And you don't have a capacity for righteousness to manifest unconditional love and to give grace upon grace and to understand the purpose and plan of God for you in that situation to reveal God. First, Christ is revealed in us in Galatians 1:15, in us, circulating, masticating, mobilizing, energizing our soul with the Word that created the universe and with the Word that created and holds everything together, dwelling in us. Make covenants into the image of Christ through details of life and circumstances, good and bad. Have you got that?
God is for us. And so he uses this word, who could ever be against us? And the answer is, if he, the God of the universe, is for us, his number one enemy, Satan, is against us. Trying to crush our lives and take away our happiness in Christ. Trying to interfere with our faith. And the first thing that Satan tries to do through his world system and through his environment and atmospheric pressures and demonic host is to imprison the Christ that's in us so he cannot be released. Therefore, when I cannot forgive certain people for hurting me, I imprison forgiveness. And the forgiveness that's of Jesus Christ is in the prison of my soul. I make a prisoner out of Christ's forgiveness. When I cannot love as God loves, nevertheless I'm saved and the Holy Spirit is indwelling me, I make the precious love of God my prisoner. And I do not use it through the Holy Spirit toward others. It is so easy to imprison love, to imprison faith, to imprison unforgiveness, to imprison patience, to imprison joy, to imprison kindness, and to imprison faithfulness. But this is all, the fruit of the Spirit is inside of every single believer. So the psalmist cried out in Psalm 142 and verse 7, bring my life out of prison. No wonder that the Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ is always 1,000% for us. I wish that the soul that is in bondage, that is in frustration and defeat, could see that Jesus Christ shepherds the most miserable of the sheep and calls the people that he purchased, that he owns, he calls them his darling or beautiful, or he calls them through his union of love. And every time he dwells upon them, it is not with anger, because not one single born again Christian will ever face condemnation. Not one. No believer in whatever state he is in will ever, ever, ever face condemnation. And the nine things of Romans 8:35 tribulation is mentioned 37 times. Affliction by Satan upon the believer's soul and body. Not one time of persecution, when it's referred to tribulation, Satan's attack upon the soul and body to separate families and homes and to bring disease and heartache and need for finances, all these tribulations under the heading of Philipses. Not one time, God says, has that ever separated one single saint from the love of God. Not once. The most amazing thing about this gospel is people do not really believe in their worst moments that God is for them. But He is. And because He is, no one can ever be against Him. No one can charge them because they are the election of God's grace. And no one can condemn them because Jesus Christ justified them and is praying for them. We, in the Word of God, have been given this unspeakable gift that if God the Father gave the most precious gift in all of eternity, the unspeakable gift of His Son, and gave Him for wicked, vile, corrupt, miserable sinners, and if Jesus Christ was given as a gift by the grace of God freely to pay for every single thing, and then we receive deliverance and salvation by grace and through faith and not of ourselves, and we're always under the banner of love, will He withhold your financial needs? No, He will not. Unless it's time to take you home, will He withhold healing? No, He will not. Will He withhold helping you and blessing you in the details of life? No, He will not. He would not withhold His Son, and He loves us when we're the most miserable. He most certainly will not withhold a single need that we have. So to draw nigh to Him as our source and to be rightly related to Him in the preciousness of His Word is a glorious opportunity and option. And because it is, Jesus Christ brings us out of the prison and brings our life out of prison. And we are truly set free. And set free to begin to expose Satan's defeat. And we ourselves, as the body of Jesus Christ, crush his head. And when we receive the power and love of God, we crush his plot, we crush his plan, we crush his subtle attacks, we crush his usurping authority over our families and over our personal lives. We crush his deceptions. We, by our faith in Jesus Christ and acting on God's love continually, and we experience his defeat because he cannot withstand against the victory that we have won, and we begin to receive the spoils that come from his kingdom because of this great triumph on the resurrection power of Christ. There isn't a reason in this world tonight, not even one, why a child of God cannot be so joyful and liberated and free and happy, because we are more than conquerors through his love.
That's awesome. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Sorry about that. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's go into this new year with this in mind. We are more than conquerors. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank You for this day today. We thank You for Your words. As I think of Psalm 119:105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let Your word be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path this week as we go through. We pray for again for all those that are sick, all those that are not feeling well. We pray for the Sunday school we did not have this morning. We pray for that. I know they were planned on having a pizza party celebration this morning. That's obviously going to have to be put off. We pray for our ministries here. We pray for June's table that's coming up at the end of the month. We also pray for the Bible college students who will be going back to Baltimore, driving back this afternoon. We pray for good weather, no traffic, easy, safe, no car troubles. And we just pray You continue to bless them and continue to bless them as they honor You and go after You, Lord. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Chris. If you'd like to stand, we can do one more song. Missionary offering. Pastor Ronaldo and Charity Brown and team. I gotta get new prescriptions, I think. So. Just hang on. Nothing can separate, even if I run away. Your love never fails. No, I still make mistakes. You have new mercy for me every day, 'cause Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that You love me. Your love never fails. The wind is strong and the water's deep. I'm not alone in these open seas. Your love never fails. Chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, 'cause Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that You love me. Your love never fails. Make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. 'Cause you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid. 'Cause I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. No, no.
All right, Father, as we close now, we just pray for everybody to have safe travels home, amazing week this week, and let us all remember that you are for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.